In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Zacchaeus Sunday. This is the Sunday when an Orthodox flare goes up into the sky. We shoot that thing as high as we can. And why is this? Well, because Zacchaeus Sunday heralds the oncoming Great Lent, which is right upon us. Now, this year, it's about 5 weeks from now before Lent proper starts. But with Zacchaeus Sunday, we are signaling to ourselves that something is about to happen. Something different is going on, and it's time to wake up. It's time to put ourselves in the spirit of Lent, even though it's a little bit early this year, and prepare for what's coming. This is a very, very special time of the year. Whenever it comes around, I can almost feel it in the air. It's almost palpable to me. There's just something different about it. There is such great grace that is poured forth on all of us at this time that if you are aware of it, you too will be able to sense it. Because with the Sunday of Zacchaeus, we now have to start changing our thoughts and our minds and the way that we do things. Because Lent is a time, and including the preparatory Sundays of Lent, by the way, that's why we have 4 preparatory Sundays of Lent, so that we're just not thrust into it like being thrown into freezing cold water in the middle of winter. No, the church kind of warms us up to this. We have preparatory Sundays. We have the publican and Pharisee, which is in 2 weeks. We have the prodigal son after that. We have the Sunday of the Last Judgment, which follows that. And then finally, that Forgiveness Sunday, the day we commemorate the expulsion of Adam and Eve from paradise. And so we're slowly working into this. But if you don't start now, it's going to be too much of a shock. Because this is the time of year, these brief weeks that we have, probably a total of about 11 weeks altogether, when we have to start thinking and doing things differently than we do the rest of the year. We are all accustomed to our own niceties and our own pleasures and our comforts and the things that we like. And I like them as much as you do. I'm all for the pleasures and the comforts and the niceties of life. But at this time of year, we've got to start thinking differently about them and how, well, what would life be like if we didn't have them? And if you do Lent properly, then by the end of it, you realize that, well, you really didn't need all of those comforts and pleasantries and niceties of life after all. Because Lent is the time when the Lord asks us to strip down, essentially. Take away all of those things that have so encumbered us throughout the rest of the year. Start peeling away at the onion. Try to finally get at the root cause of all of our sins and transgressions and the things that we do wrong so often through most of the year. Lent is a time of great repentance. Lent is a time of great reconciliation. And so the church slowly starts us thinking about this, starting to realize that maybe our relationships with each other are not as they should be, that maybe our prayer lives are not as great as they should be, that maybe our almsgiving is not as great as it should be. Because Lent reminds us of the things that the Lord does for us, the things that He has come and done for us already and that He continues to do. Lent is a reminder of our own deaths and of our ultimate resurrection as we go with Christ through these next weeks that are coming upon us. It always seems to creep up on us, doesn't it? Even though it may be a late Pascha during the year, and we have a long time between Theophany and the beginning of Lent, even then, it seems like, oh my goodness, Lent is here. Well, that's why Zacchaeus Sunday is given to us, so that we can start thinking about these things. Maybe not going full-fledged directly into Lent right now or into a Lenten attitude, but starting to understand that there's a very, very holy and special time coming upon us, and that we've got to make up our minds to make the best of it. Too often, people come, and particularly during Lent, they come to confession near the end of Lent, right during Holy Week, when I tell everybody they shouldn't be coming. And they say, oh, well, Father, this Lent just has not been good. I've done this, that, or the other, and I haven't lived up to what I was hoping. Well, that's probably because they weren't prepared. They didn't take this time to start that spiritual reading, to start understanding the things that are really important in life, and that when life is over, that's all that's going to matter. Nothing else is going to matter, I can promise you that. Only your relationship with the Lord. And now's the time to start drawing near to Him if you haven't been, if you've been neglectful. We've just come out of the Nativity season, out of the Theophany season. Next week we have on Sunday, Glory to God This Year, the presentation of the Lord in the temple, which actually concludes the Nativity season. But yet Lent is right there. It's right upon us. So think about these things. Think about what it is you're going to do this year for Lent, the efforts that you're going to make to draw nearer to Christ, that you've got to increase your prayer life, that you've got to be looking out more for the other person, that you've got to understand their needs, that you've got to help them as much as you can, that you've got to be here in church. I'm telling you, if you go through all of Great Lent and you're only here on Sundays, you've missed the point entirely. Entirely. During most of Lent, there are 6 services every week during church. And yet we see just a few people at each service, if then. That's because the Lenten mindset has not set in. That's because you're not understanding the phronema, the mind of the church, what the church is asking us to do this time. It's very, very important that we make the time during Lent. There's nothing else more important that you're doing. Nothing. For any of us, there's nothing more important than making ourselves prepare slowly for Lent. What do we have to do? What's the first thing that we have to do? We have to understand that we are a unique and, as the scriptures say, a peculiar people. Now, we might look at each other and say, well, this is a very peculiar crowd here today. Everybody I know here is a little strange in one way or the other. I mean, you've got to embrace the Orthodox faith. Either you're strange and looking for something exotic, or you've been called by God, and I'd be willing to bet you it's the second in most cases. You have been called. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. That's the first thing we've got to do. Just by the mere fact that you're Orthodox, you've come out from among the rest of the world. But now you've got to up that a level. You've got to take it up one notch. You have to come out from among the common and everyday and the things that we often fall into in our Orthodox Christians' lives that become just so mundane and habitual and regular. You've got to lift yourself up out of that kind of slothful spirit, and become something else. And what else do we have to do? We have to go to our brothers and sisters and reconcile with one another. We have to make ourselves pure, make ourselves clean by doing the things that the Lord wants us to do. Look at Zacchaeus today. Zacchaeus, a tax collector, the chief tax collector. Not a very nice man, not someone that anybody liked. And on top of it, he had a real complex. He was short. He couldn't see anything in this crowd that the gospel talks about. And so what does he do? He's heard about Jesus Christ. Perhaps his interest is piqued because of this. Perhaps the Holy Spirit is working on him, saying slowly but subtly, Zacchaeus, it's time for a change. And the change is going to be radical, but you don't know it yet. So he runs ahead. He climbs into a tree. He pulls apart from the rest of the crowd. He comes away from the crowd and goes into the tree and sits there and waits for the Lord to come on. And the Lord, as he's walking along, who in the Lord's divinity, of course, he knew Zacchaeus was there, but then, as St. Gregory Palamas says, as a man, he turns and he looks at Zacchaeus and knows his name. Zacchaeus, come down quickly, for I must come to your house today. And so, what happens? As we read so almost every page of the Gospels, it seems like, the crowd starts murmuring. Oh, you know, if it's not a Samaritan, then it's a Pharisee, or in this case, it's a tax collector. He's a sinner, and the Lord is going to go to the house of a sinner. How dare he? when we are all here following him. But he wants to go to the house of a sinner. But Zacchaeus, in this case, defends the Lord. And how does he defend him? By saying, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. And I'm repenting now. And because of this, I'm going to give half of all my goods to the poor. And if I've defrauded anyone, I'm going to restore him fourfold. And so Zacchaeus, he comes down and he essentially fulfills what we've just been talking about. He comes out from among them. And then he reconciles with his fellow man. And when he does that, he is prepared to receive the Lord in his house. It's a wonderful story. But what about us? Are we ready to receive the Lord in our house, in the home of our heart? Now, we may not have this sudden sort of epiphany that Zacchaeus had. It didn't happen to him suddenly. It was something that, for him, was just out of the blue. Instantaneous almost. But for us, again, we're entering into the preparatory time of Lent. We know that Zacchaeus, who was taken sort of aback suddenly, we know that the Lord is coming to us in the same way that Zacchaeus knew, but we have time to prepare. That's why we're taking these next weeks, because we have time to open the hearts of us all, to open the house that resides in our hearts to the Lord who's coming to us. He's giving us fair warning. And of course, with those warnings, there are so many other things that he tells us about that are sometimes harsh, that are difficult to listen to. He's told us not to judge anyone. How hard is that? I'll bet you any money, every one of you, including myself, have made some kind of judgment about someone, even as we get up this morning. Whether it's your spouse, or someone walking into the church, or you like the way someone looks, or someone says something, or the choir singing funny, or something like that. Everyone's thinking, you know. And the thing is, we don't realize it because it's happening so often and so quickly that we're not aware of it. But now's the time to become aware. Judge not, lest you be judged, the Lord says. There are no exceptions to that. You have to stop completely not judging anyone. And there's so many other teachings that the Lord gives us during the course of the Gospels that are particularly applicable to this time that we have to take into consideration. Lent is upon us. Again, it's right around the corner. It's going to be here before you know it. And I guarantee you, the week of Forgiveness Sunday, when the bulletin comes out and you haven't been paying attention and you look at it and you see that it's Forgiveness Sunday, you're going to think, Lent starts Monday. I mean, I can't believe it. What has happened? What has happened? The only thing that might assuage your sorrow at knowing that Lent is that next day is the fact that the Lambroses are going to bring ice cream on that Sunday. And that sort of makes you feel good inside. Well, it's an ice cream day, so I can enjoy it. But the next day after that, the first week, the intense fasting that we do that first week, the first week and Holy Week are the greatest times of fasting during Lent. This is something we're not ready for. This is something that we have not prepared for spiritually. Because every week will go by and you'll think, Publican and Pharisee, then prodigal son. Okay, well, I got to start thinking about this. Just a couple of weeks till Lent. And every week goes by and you still haven't done anything. You've been in your same routine, doing your same things. And then Lent will be here. And again, you're not ready. And then you're using the first weeks of Lent as the preparation for Lent, which you should have been doing the 4 weeks before. And so that's why when Holy Week finally rolls around, you feel like you haven't done a thing for Lent. And why is that? Because you haven't done anything for Lent. So you've got to wake up. You've got to wake up. Look at that flare in the sky, the big Z, Z for Zacchaeus. That's what you're looking for. And you're thinking, this is Zacchaeus Sunday. Now's the time for me to get ready. Now's the time for me to lay out a plan as to how I'm going to treat Great Lent. How am I going to make the time for the things that I need to be doing. Don't wait until it's there. Do it now. I'm going to read this book. I'm going to read The Ladder of Divine Ascent 3 times during the course of Lent. Well, maybe not. Maybe once if you're lucky. Maybe 5 chapters with understanding. But read the Gospels. There's a whole lectionary laid out in your calendars for every single day of Lent. Old Testament readings are done during Lent. So take the time. Prepare, for goodness sake. Make this the best Lent that you've ever had in your life. Struggle with it. Struggle to purify yourself from all these things that you've accrued during the rest of the year. Draw near to God. And if you come through at the end of Lent and you think, well, I'm not there. You know, Father, I'm more sinful now than I was when I started. Well, it could very well be that you've had a great Lent, and by the end of this time, you've grown spiritually enough to see exactly how sinful you are. That is the road to sainthood, because all the saints knew this. They all understood this. The more spiritual progress we make, the further away we feel that we are from God. But the paradox is that actually we are drawing closer to God by doing that. So today I'm sounding the wake-up call. I'm not going to walk through the congregation, sprinkle you all with holy water like I so love to do. Cold holy water, perhaps. But I'm asking you, make this a great Lent. Be at the services. Love your community. We have such a wonderful community in Christ here. It's absolutely wonderful. These people that you see around you, you look around, don't judge anybody. But you look down the row and you see this person or that person, and you really love this person, and this person's okay. You know, you like them a little bit. You tolerate them. But guess what? That person that you just tolerate is for your salvation. Without them, you're not going up there. Because the community is what's important. The community together. These folks here in this church today are your salvation. Remember that. Remember that. You are here for a reason. They are here for a reason. And all together, that great harmonious oneness that we find is the body of Christ that enables us to see our own sins and to forgive the sins of others and thereby to be drawn up into heaven with our Lord Jesus Christ on that great day. That's the goal. So keep this in mind. Love one another. Love the Lord your God. And prepare to be with Him because He's coming. Amen.